Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Yeah, we played, ran out of gas, really. I mean, we played hard. Guys made plays, you know, some great individual performance. And you look at what Gil Rubio did, you know, triple-double. And basically, we went to our bench, so we had a problem. We couldn't score. We're playing guys that are just here or guys out of position. But I can't, like I said, I can't follow our guys there. We came back, out-rebounded them, you know, defensively held them under 50%. Played a good, entertaining game. You know, it's nice. Fans have been unbelievable. You know, another time, the last 5 minutes, they stand up the whole last 5 minutes. Disappointing thing is we haven't been able to, you know, to beat one of these teams, you know, to let them feel real good about going home. But as you know, we said going in there, I said, hey, this is a process we're going through. We're playing good teams, and we're a little bit undermanned, but we're competing, and we're giving ourselves a chance, and yes, the process we're going through.
Timberwolves head coach Flip Saunders on the Wolves' progression and how they continue to progress, even against the better teams. The superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson. We are at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub down in St. Paul, Minnesota. Brought to you by Rogaszewski and Atkins. And I guess that what I should say is that if they ran out of gas, I've got plenty. I've got plenty of gas for them. If they ever run out again, Flip, give me a call, because I always seem to have gas.
It's funny you mention that, because I'm with you every day, and I definitely know that to be the case. But I think, you know, I'm not 38 years old, but I don't know that I can do back-to-back days anymore. I think I'm taking the Kevin Garnett deal. And I'll be here on the bench.
Well, yeah.
But I just can't play back-to-back days. It's just too much for me.
Here's what I'd like to throw in also. And that includes where I'm at right now at this table with you. I don't know if I can go 2-3 days in a row anymore, but I would be willing to buy, kind of like Kevin Garnett. He bought like 1,000 tickets.
Sure.
So he didn't have to play. I think that was his way of buying and winning everybody over, and including the coach. And there's 1,000 tickets right there. Mm-hmm. 500. The first 500 got pairs of tickets.
What are you going to buy me?
I would just say beer.
Okay, perfect.
I'd be willing to buy beer for you for like a whole day if you just take one of these off my back.
Okay. Done deal.
Deal?
Done deal.
Wow, this is great.
I'm not going to buy you anything, though, on my days off.
Well, I'm going to belly up to the bar right now. I'll send one over.
All right, perfect.
You have a good show.
No, today's the day I want to take off. Unbelievable game last night, though. Seriously, without Nikola Pekovic.
Yeah.
Who, he's what do you call him? The ceramic tiger? The ceramic bull?
He is. He really is.
He's a man beast.
The monster.
God.
He just does not hold up. But, my God, what a huge, physical-looking guy. And I've seen him when he was at full capacity, you know, 100%. I don't know. Those days are numbered, though, I think.
And he's probably going to have to do the whole Kevin Garnett deal, not being able to play every game or take his minutes down or something. I mean, you can't have a guy that you're paying $12 million to for the next 4 years constantly out with ankle problems or wrist problems. It's upsetting. Gorky Jang had a double-double last night in his absence, Nikola Pekovic's absence. And then, of course, Kevin Martin was out with the flu. They were down by 18 at some point, and they came back. They almost won it at the end with a three-pointer missed by Gary Neal with, I want to say, about 10 seconds left. But the big story of the day coming out is this whole J.J. Redick, Flip Saunders argument that happened. There were a couple arguments yesterday. Flip Saunders, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick was on the court. There was a dead ball. Flip Saunders came on the court, and J.J. Redick told the referee, hey, get this guy off. Why is the coach in the middle of the court? Get him off of here.
Yep.
And supposedly Flip Saunders said, shut the F up, four times at him. J.J., shut the F up, blah, 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 screaming at the top of his lungs. And then at some point later on in the game, Doc Rivers' son, who plays for the Clippers, got in KG's grill.
Yeah, not good. Austin Rivers.
And KG got his third technical in two games, and so it would have been fun to watch them kind of duke it out, because Austin Rivers just is just a teeny little guard.
Yeah, they're kind of scrappy little guys, though. I mean, they kind of stick and move. But, if he's anything like Doc Rivers, he's got a little fire in his tail.
But for sure, nobody has more fire in their tail than Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to. Well, he's a little older now, but I don't think he's lost too much in that regard. As far as
I think he's even more grumpy now.
I think he is too. In fact,
he is one of the most
senile.
One of the most vulgar guys on the court when it comes to jaw-jacking, you know.
Yeah, he is. He's,
other team.
He's filthy rotten. Oh. He'll throw that F-bomb out there. He's not afraid of that F-bomb.
And it's so interesting because he is so beloved around here in his...
Well, you know what?
His character is just so beloved. He's always smiling. He's always making jokes. Hell nah, doing this.
Hell
and that with the media. But when it comes to playing basketball, Kevin Garnett is one mean son of a bitch.
Yeah, he really is. He's brought that kind of tenacity, and that's why he's a winner. That's why he is where he is right now. I mean, 20 years and still running. But it takes that kind of tenacity to run at that level for that long a time. And he's held up remarkably well. I think he had the one knee. He works out incredibly hard in the off season with his running and his training and all the sand work that he does when he goes out west to California.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's whatever it was, he found the potion to stay on the court all these years now. And I only remember one year where he was torn up.
Kevin Garnett?
Yeah. One year out of all those. I mean, he has really done his due diligence because you have to adjust your workouts as you get older. You have to adjust with age. You can't just keep doing what you were doing to yourself when you were a younger athlete. If you were training hard, that's only going to last so long. You can't continue to train like that. If you go 15, 16, 17 years, you have to adjust and recover at a different rate.
Is that why, obviously, he's sitting out back-to-back games? As far as I'm concerned, as far as what the Wolves are saying, he's always going to play games here at Target Center in front of the home fans.
Oh, yeah. But how many minutes was he logging with Brooklyn?
About
18 to 20?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if they plan on bringing him up into more minutes eventually.
Here?
They want to just kind of... I don't know. I mean, I would doubt
20.
If he would.
No, he's going to play 20.
But you just never know as to why he's sitting out every other game. But I guess I'd like to have him out there every night, to be honest, at 20 minutes, 18, 20 minutes. I would think that you could get up and down the court.
I think he'll be out there every game as long as they're not back-to-backs. It's not that the back-to-backs are that frequent.
No, they're not that often, but I mean, there's part of me that thinks it's Kevin Garnett. Why can't he run back-to-back?
Yeah.
Again, the Joe Mauer thing, the Kevin Garnett thing, and two different beasts completely. Mm. Kevin Garnett, 20 years and running up and down the hardwood floor.
And never missing games, or is Joe Mauer, who's all he does is miss ball games at $23 million a clip?
It's just obscene, but they were making basically the same money there for a while when he was in his heyday.
Yeah.
Then they have tomorrow, they have, who was it? I was just looking at it.
The Denver Nuggets just fired their coach today, Brian Shaw, former point guard in the NBA. They fired him. Canned his ass.
That's the way it goes. I don't feel sorry for him. Better him than me.
Okay.
I've been on the other end of that thing.
It's no fun being fired.
No, it's truly not.
I liked it when I was fired, though. I was let go one time, yeah. I liked it. Give me a nice little 6-month vacation. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Unemployment was awesome.
I was on the other end of that, too, for a while.
But
on several football teams.
Yeah, but I don't have kids or anything like that or things that I have to pay.
That changes
everything. I have a house and a car payment and stuff like that, but I don't have mouths to feed. Just my mouth to feed.
Well, that's like feeding six.
Well, and I can live off of $2 from the dollar menu at McDonald's if I have to. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you'd cleaned it up. I really thought that you were turning over a new leaf and starting to really try.
I am, and I am really trying.
What's the main thing is you try?
But I don't eat the dollar menu. I don't eat that kind of stuff these days. But if I have to, I can hang with the best of them. I can
be
have chicken
honest.
Nuggets.
I mean, you weren't doing that every day, were you? I mean, it
when
was like
unemployed?
You were going every day?
When I was unemployed?
Well, even up till now, this late,
no.
In case you all don't know this out there in Radio Land, a dude here, Ben Holson, has been cleaning up the diet and working out rigorously and religiously and relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And you've lost what, about 20?
40.
Since I've been with you? 40?
Yeah.
Damn, you were big. You were big.
Yeah, I was 260. Now I'm 220-ish.
Jeez. Well, he looks great. My point is he looks great. And
are you hitting on me?
Huh?
Are you hitting on me?
Why do you think I'm sitting on your lap, Dickie Jack?
Dang it.
What's the deal? So you were eating like that, fast food.
Oh, whatever.
Everything else before you started losing the 40 pounds or whatever?
Sure. I wasn't necessarily eating fast food.
Did you almost say that word? Did you almost say?
No.
I thought you did say
no,
it.
No, I didn't.
Dump him. Mike, dump him. Okay.
No, I was. But anything that I would eat would be massive amounts of it.
So when you binge it, whenever
I'm a binge
eater.
Yeah,
I do too that. I do a lot of that.
Down the street here at Shamrock's, I love it. I do their burger challenge. You get two double burgers and two fries. And, yeah, I would be doing that all the time. Like, look at me, look what I can eat.
Look who's looking down here at you.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Look who's looking down here at us.
I'm sorry about
that. None other than the best dressed man in St. Paul. We'll be coming to him next, Mr. Tom Reed himself. And he turned his head, man. He got his attention. He's likely to come over here and high stick your ass.
Sorry, Tom.
You'll be spitting chiclets. No, it's but you cleaned it up, though, nicely. And I'm telling you. I don't even. You are completely different than when I first ran into you.
Thanks, my man. Appreciate it.
I mean, a fantastic job working out with your brother and going after it.
Yeah.
I like to work out.
Yeah,
I
me
like
too. To work out me too well. Now. I'm addicted to it.
What do we have time for? Do we have to go?
We got to go. We got to get Tom Reed on here, and hopefully he doesn't lambast me too much for saying what I just said. I apologize.
He's about to whoop your ass. I don't know if you know that or not. And Tom Reed can do it.
Rightfully so.
He'll put your doggone chiclets down the back of your fat yapper.
By the time we're talking to Tom Reed during the next break, I will be picking up my chiclets from the floor just like Zach Parise did a couple months ago.
You will. So when you come back, you can expect...
But join us at Tom Reed's. Tom Reed's is where it's at.
And Tom Reed's is where it's at. It's called Ticket Tuesday at Tom Reed's, in fact. Presented by Rogoszewski, Rogoszewski and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. Before you blow, call Rogo. We'll be right back. Radioactive Sports.
Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Spoken to Tim since last summer on Stewart, and probably the one fair criticism you can level at us is our lack of size. And Chris is a big, strong guy, certainly a guy that brings a lot of toughness to our team, but yet he's a player that has contributed offensively, can play on the power play, can really shoot the puck, he's willing to go to the net, and we think with the type of players we have on our team, his skill set really complements our group really well.
Yes, indeed. The voice of Lord Fletcher, I mean Chuck Fletcher, and we are at Tom Reed's. It's Ticket Tuesday down here whenever the Wild are in town. We're down here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Standing with us right now is the sharpest dressed man in St. Paul, Tom Reed himself. You don't have to talk with Ben Holson. We won't even say why. But yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Never heard of him.
This team... What the hell? This team is outrageous. I mean, it's turned everything around and beating the good teams. Nashville, I mean, Colorado ending in a little bit of a flurry. We'll talk about that. But Ottawa tonight. Edmonton.
That was the last time we were here last Tuesday, so I hope it's not this
And they actually played pretty well, but they just couldn't score goals in that game. And, you know, that's the bottom line. If you don't get the goals, you don't get the points. But the nice thing also, guys, is the fact that the schedule's been pretty favorable to Minnesota through the month of February because they've had days off in between every game. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to see four sets of back-to-back in the month of March. It gets a little more dicey, but at the same time, the team is playing well. They're playing with a lot more confidence. And I think the trades that Chuck Fletcher and his staff made yesterday will help solidify this hockey club, give them a little more depth that they're looking for. You need that going into the playoffs, and certainly those additions will be a part of that.
So tell me about the additions of the forwards. Let's talk about the forwards first. Bergenheim, what was that, last week? They made the trade? It was the last Tuesday.
He's been here two games now.
Yep, and then yesterday, Chris Stewart from the Buffalo Sabres. So we're adding two scores.
We're adding scores, but also adding guys who play more of a physical type of a game, and they're good along the wall. I mean, where you really have to have some battles back there. And Bergenheim, I was very impressed with him in that first game in Nashville. He was a minus two in that game, but it wasn't because of him. His line mates were not very good in that hockey game, but he was terrific. But they won the game. Then they go to Colorado in a very physical game once again, and he was part of the physical play. And I don't mean fighting wise. I mean just playing hard nose hockey. So he was good there. So that's a plus for this hockey club. Now we get into Stewart. Chris Stewart.
The big power forward.
He's a big guy. He's a big man, isn't he?
He's about 6'3", about 230 pounds, but he's built.
Yeah.
He's playing for a contract. He's unrestricted at the end of this year, so he's playing for a contract for next year. I really liked him when he was in Colorado to begin with, because he brought that physical play to the game.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis, he wasn't quite as effective there, and then he went to Buffalo and it fell apart.
So minus 30 coming into the trade,
probably
right?
Probably the worst in the league. But you know what? You have to look at the team he's playing with, too, and you have to take that consideration. And I'm sure playing there wasn't a happy time for him. Now he gets a chance to prove himself once again to step up here, and he's part of a team now that could be in the playoffs, where in Buffalo he was not.
and change scenery and you get another chance and you breathe another breath of life into your career. Sometimes you turn things around. You have new teammates that believe in you instantly. I mean, you have to earn their respect still, but certainly you have another chance with people who don't already have a judgment of you, with the old team. How do you rate Chuck Fletcher at this point to be able to go out and pick up what he's been able to pick up and to scrap and dig for every little thing coming down the stretch here and to make it work and these extra added pieces of new bodies for a potential playoff berth?
Well, he's done a good job with it. I mean, you go back a few years ago, I mean, just to be able to pick up Parisi and Suter in the same year was a tremendous help. And, of course, you have ownership who were endorsing it. That helps because you have to have the dollar someplace.
Yeah.
3 years ago, it was Jason Pominville. If you go back, you know, when he was picked up from Buffalo. Then you go last year, it was Matt Molson. He was the guy that they really wanted last year.
Right.
And he was from Buffalo. Now this year, it's another Buffalo with Chris Stewart. So there's a relationship there with the staff now that Tim Murray's there. Now, that wasn't the case with Palmer, though. But at the same time now, I think Chuck has added the pieces to the puzzle to help us move forward into whatever the next level is going to be. You have to go in the playoffs with some depth because, you know, it's every game is physical. Every game is hard. We saw that with Colorado the other night. It was hard for our team to stand up to that. Seems without Cook, without Carter, you know, without Zucker, without, you know, the physical players. Now, all of a sudden, those guys are able to get back, and I don't know when Zucker will come back, but we may see Carter and hopefully Cook into the playoffs if the team gets there. And now you add another element to it with Chris Stewart.
Sure.
And, you know, you just keep adding those pieces, hoping that eventually that puzzle all comes together.
Yeah, we're talking to Tom Reed. We're actually at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the Minnesota Wild game.
It's just down the street from Shamrock.
Yeah, no, wait. That's in a dangerous part of the town.
Actually, he went there
that's
himself.
A good place. Yeah, I've been there. It's a good place. You know, we're competitors, but we're all friends, too, so that works out well.
Yeah. Sorry to bring that up. But all four of the guys that the Wild have traded for this year, Dubnyk, now Leopold, Stewart, and Bergenheim, were all kind of not playing for their teams and a little disgruntled from where they were coming from, it seems like. All four of them were, and now they're coming here to the Minnesota Wild with that swagger. What kind of swagger does that add to this team and give them that extra punch as they make that push for the playoffs?
Well, you have to look at the teams they were playing for, too, so there wasn't a happy time for most of them. And you know, you talk about trusting your teammates. How about Dubnyk? How good has he been with this club? And now they trust him between the pipes. They know that he'll be there when he needs to be there. But, I mean, the attitude of those guys coming here has certainly changed because now they're in a team that has some mojo, to speak, all right?
For sure.
They're not in a team that's mired at the bottom that they know come April the 10th or whenever it is that they're going to be going back home. Now, all of a sudden, that's not the case. And even when you look at Bergenheim, here's a guy who was not playing. His last game before he got traded to Minnesota was against Minnesota with Florida, and he wasn't playing. He went to Dale Talon, who's a friend of mine, said, you know what, can you trade me? And Dale accommodated and was able to make a deal, and as a result of that, now he's on a team that he feels has a chance, and he's certainly been familiar with some of the guys. He works out with Granlund in the offseason in Finland. He's played with Mikko in some of the international competition, so he's familiar with some of the guys, and we got, five Finns in our team right now that are on the roster, so it's been a good deal.
When he went to the GM and asked to be traded, I mean, that's a good sign when you're a healthy scratch and you know you can play the game and you know you can fit somewhere and you go to the club and say, look, if you're not using me, can I be dealt off? I mean, that's a good sign of someone that really believes in their skill set and their play and wants to fit in somewhere. I mean, I like this guy automatically because we went out and signed him, and a player with that kind of attitude is a winner to me.
Yeah, and you're right, Mike. And the thing also is that give Dale Talon some credit, too, because he, you know, if you're not happy here, we don't want you here. We want you to go someplace. We'll try and get something for you that we can accommodate our own team down the road. It's like, you know, when you're in sales and you go to, you know, you've taken a job like I was in the printing business for 20 years. And I know that when you're in that type of a business, if you find another job selling printing, you go to your employer and say, you know, I'll give you 2 weeks notice. It's right. Here's the cardboard box. Put all your stuff in here and you're out the door. We don't want you here for the last 2 weeks.
Or we can mail it to you. You're still going to
play,
though.
That's the same type of thing. He didn't play anymore, and they're trying to find a place for him, and Minnesota was a place where he landed. So hopefully that'll both go well. This is a tough game time. This Ottawa is a very good team.
They won five in a row?
They won five in a row. They won all three games on the West Coast. They had a shutout against Anaheim, a shutout against L.A., and then they won the other day against San Jose. So this is a team that's on a roll here right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
You gotta love the way this is going, though. Yeah. I mean, the best thing I think about this season so far that I can remember is you standing there saying, we'll find out what we know of this team when they get up against the better teams like Nashville. They went on the road and beat Nashville. I just think, I mean, it's just an amazing thing that's turned around here.
And the game in Colorado, that was probably the worst officiated game I've seen in a long, long time. Yeah. I did not like the way it was going. In fact, I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I don't like the way this is going because they're not calling things that should be called. And when you lose control of a game like that, bad things happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened at the end of the game. You know, with Landeskog taking a swing at Mikko, he got fined for it, $5,000. He's making millions.
But the maximum allowed under the CBA.
That's exactly right. And then you got McLeod coming off the bench to run at Granlund, of all people. Please, give me a break. You want to be a tough guy, be a tough guy. But why don't you go after some of the bigger guys?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Charlie Coyle, he just happened to be in the mix and trying to protect Granlund, got into it. And McLeod's a fighter. He's had 106 fights in his first 8 years of his time in the NHL.
That's what his
role is. And I appreciate what his role is. He's a physical guy. He's going to play that way. But you know what? Don't be Mickey Mouse about who you're going to fight by going after Granlund.
Yeah.
Please.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. He got fined $3,000.
Yeah. Wow. Maximum allowable, again, under the CBA. Yeah. But I wish the Colorado Avalanche were better. I really do because of the way we play each other and the hostility between both teams and the way we played them in the playoffs and knocked them out. I mean, that's why they were frustrated, I would imagine. We scored 12 goals to their one goal all season.
And their goal shouldn't have counted.
Dominated.
Their goal should not have counted because it was pushed. You can't push a goaltender in the net. Yeah. And they say, was under his pad. Well, yeah, it was under his pad. You got to save it at the blue line. Can you push them all the way into the net and say, oh, it's a good goal? I mean, come on. That was a
You're
bad
fired
call.
Up. It's going to be a heck of a game tonight.
Tom is into it. Some of that old stuff coming out.
We didn't even talk about Jordan Leopold.
You had to bring up that place down
well,
the street.
Well, let's not even talk about it.
That's what
this,
got him going.
Well, there's a lot of guys in the league right now who want Jordan Leopold's daughter to write letters for them so they can get out
of course they do.
Exactly. How good must it have felt for him to get the deal done here and come back here to play and then to know that his daughter had the letter? And
you know,
how much better could you feel as a father?
I walked in this morning, and I was greeted by Jordan right away. He said, hey, Reader, what are you doing? And I turned around, and it was him. And he was so excited about being here. And, you know, this thing has gone viral. She wrote that letter in January, and his wife posted it on Facebook and went out there. He says, you got to get that off of there. They got it off, but it was already gone through. So now, all of a sudden, I said, you know, that's a feel-good story. I said, it's a good feel-good story. And we don't see a lot of that in professional athletes, but that's good. It was on Good Morning America.
Thing.
It was on
everybody.
CNN.
Yeah,
all over place. So that's a nice thing. That and the Dubnyk story have really been really a nice thing for Minnesota.
Yeah. Heck of a game tonight. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
We're Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, and that was Tom Reed. Thank you, Tom, for stopping by.
My pleasure, guys.
And the food is fantastic, as always. And send a waitress. I'll have two or three more of what I just had. The grain belt brats. Bring 20 over. Thank you again, Mr. Reed.
All right, thank you, guys.
Tom.
Best-dressed man in St. Paul. Ticket Tuesday at Tom Reed's is presented by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski and Atkins. Criminal defense attorneys, before you blow, call Rogo. When we come back, we've got 4.5 questions at 4:30. The invention of Ben Holson. We will hold him to that next on Radioactive Sports.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Sports Flash.
All right, Ben Holson, the Timberwolves down by 18 at one point last night against the Clippers at Target Center, but fought back to make it interesting at the end before losing 110-105 in front of a near sellout crowd. Gary Neal scored a team-high 19, but missed a possible game-winning 26-foot three-pointer. Just about 10 seconds to go. Garnett had 12 points, 21 minutes. Wiggins had 19 points, 41 minutes. Ricky Rubio finished with his fourth career triple-double, 18 points, 12 boards, 11 assists. The Wolves next host the Denver Nuggets tomorrow, who just fired head coach Brian Shaw today. Join the superstar Mike Morris and me from 4 to 7 at Hubert's inside Target Center before the Wolves tip off tomorrow at 7 on FSN. The NHL fined Colorado Avalanche skaters Cody McLeod and Gabe Landeskog the maximum amount allowable under the CBA for the antics at the end of the Wilds 3-1 win Saturday in Denver. McLeod took a run at Charlie Coyle with 3 seconds to go. Landeskog punched Koivu with both captains on their respective benches. The Wild's newest additions, forward Chris Stewart, defenseman Jordan Leopold, expected to make their Wild debuts tonight against the Ottawa Senators. Faceoff at 7 on FSN. Updates at the top and bottom. Breaking news when it happens. I'm Ben Holson, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Frustrating, but it's good to come out here and see some of my teammates, see what they've been doing. They've been working hard for it. And to see these numbers and see these guys out here running, so yeah, it's good. I mean, it's frustrating at first, but at the same time, it's a little bump in the road and getting healthy. And, you know, I wouldn't want to come out here and hurt anything. Now I'll heal up, get back into the process, and look forward to coming out here again. So again, early April.
David Cobb, running back extraordinaire out of the University of Minnesota. The Golden Gophers, fine young tailback. He had some issues at combine. We all know about that, the hamstring. It was a hamstring, and it was just smart for him to hold out of pro day. That's the right move. He sat back and watched Max Williams and Williams.
Damian Wilson, Cedric Thompson and Luke Frichty and our guy Cameron Botticelli. They all had pretty good days yesterday.
Botticelli is a pretty good defensive lineman.
Nagurski complex.
Well, there'll be a few guys that are going to go in the draft. And Max Williams, watch out. He might just end up in the first round. A lot of people are saying that he might go first round. Let's hope so. He's a good friend of the show. We know his dad. And you know what? We'll head him on several times, much the way we did Zach Moore last year going into Combine.
That'll be great.
And into the draft as well. So
you ready for this?
Well, we got 4.5 questions, so let's not waste time.
Question number one, the Vikings. Well, we'll talk about the Pro Day. They were to go for Pro Day yesterday, including head coach Mike Zimmer, offensive coordinator Norv Turner, general manager Rick Spielman, plus 9 other members of their scouting team. Do you think the Vikings are seriously interested in a particular Gopher player, or did they just show up because it's in their backyard, the chance to talk to members of the other 22 teams that showed up? Or are they trying to smokescreen? Why were there so many Minnesota Viking members or the coaching staff in front office at the Gopher Pro Day yesterday?
Well, I'm sure that it's because they're here, they're local, and that's an easy trip for this team to show up and watch all those kids. You don't want to miss anything. It's right here. You'd have to shame on yourself if you let someone go through the draft and you didn't even know who it was because you didn't even spend any time. Believe me, they've already known all of these players here for a couple of years.
Dick Springfield said he goes to every Saturday home game he can possibly get to.
Yeah, they know these players inside and out. There isn't anyone in the country they don't know by now. And that was just another opportunity to come by and get a look-see at what it really looks like when it's moving down the track and doing some of the different agility drills and the things that they do. Well, they'll run them through specific drills for their position. They want to see how they move at their position. Those are very key for some of the assistant coaches to show up and watch. And so, why wouldn't you? It'd be your bad if you didn't show up for that.
No, totally. I completely get it. Just wondering, there's so many different options. And we're going to hear from Rick Spielman, who talked for about 2 minutes yesterday. Obviously, reporters and media people asking questions about Adrian Peterson and the dialogue they're having. And we'll go over that later on in the show here, coming up at 5:30. Question number two, 5.5 questions. All 5 Twins players that left spring training with the flu yesterday. Back at it this morning. Reports from Hammond Stadium are that the team and second baseman Brian Dozier are pretty close on a possible contract extension. The 28-year-old could see a deal run at least 4 years, buying out his 3 upcoming arbitration years, and possibly a free agent year or two. Now, Dozier's had a couple of really good years in the bigs back-to-back, but he still struggles with his batting average. Though baseball nerds like Mike Berardino will tell you that his on-base percentage is great, and that's all really that matters.
What is Mike Berardino again, please?
As far as I know, he's a little bit of a prick. But anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you think it's premature to lock in Dozier to a long-term deal, especially since he has arbitration years left? Or do you think the Twins will be getting a bargain if they extend him now?
Well, the price of poker goes up pretty fast if you let someone slip between the cracks and you want to wait to try and do it a little bit later. And I think maybe you should. If you believe in the kid, if you believe in what you're seeing right now, and you know he can get better, there's an upside, then it's probably money well spent to come out and extend him right now. And I think it's a good move. I think that what he showed him last year was the real deal. I mean, for no more than I know.
But his batting average is like .240. I mean, I know he gets on base because he walks often, and that's important for the number two hitter in the lineup. But if he's only batting .240, for me, just as a regular, regular old black and white baseball guy, I need his batting average to come up. And I don't think he's going to hit as many home runs as he hit last year.
I was just going to say he hits for power though a lot of the time, and he knocked a lot of them out of the ballpark last year too.
I don't think he can do that again, do you? I mean,
he is who he is. I know that's a great number, and the guy lit it up last year. I would think that he is the same guy. Maybe he learned enough and is confident enough to go out there and do it, and maybe then some. Who knows?
That's why Joe Mauer didn't get many RBIs last year, because Brian Dozier was hitting them in before him. So would you lay off on Joe Mauer, please? Just kidding. He deserves everything he gets.
I will. I'll lay off Joe Mauer, because poor Joe needs to be laid off. I feel so bad for him.
Poor guy.
God, I wish I was his accountant.
Yeah, God. Question three. The two newest Wild skaters, Jordan Leopold, Chris Stewart, expected to make their debuts tonight when the Wild host the Ottawa Senators. We've seen some Ottawa Senator-type fans walking around here in their black jerseys. Leopold, the recognizable name around these parts, including winning that Hobey Baker Award National Championship in 2002. But Chris Stewart, the brawny power forward, the prize that the two new players acquired yesterday, is adding size, depth, scoring ability. That is when he's motivated, from what I'm hearing. Obviously, the Wild think they're in it for the long haul this year, but by stacking up before the deadline, realistically, this team is as talented as any other in the league. But barring any injury to Devan Dubnyk, how far will this team go? Better than last year?
You have to look at this team right now and think, this is pretty special what's going on right now, now that they got the correction made at that goaltender. I mean, what we saw at the first half of the season and what we've seen coming down the stretch the last third of the season has been nothing short of amazing.
But if he goes down every
screw, sky's the limit. We're done. I think so. I mean, I think we're done if he goes down. You're going to have to rest him, I believe. As Tom Reed mentioned, we got four series of back-to-backs coming up in the schedule through March, and that's tough. But, I mean, that's what's going to have to happen. And can he weather the storm? I don't know. But the playoffs are extremely physical. That's why we picked up Leopold and Stewart. And we're just going to have to make the best. But I think, I think if Dubnyk holds up, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, you just play hard. And, you know, you like Jim Valvano said, you survive in advance.
As good as Devan Dubnyk has been, aren't you a little bit intrigued to see what Darcy Kuemper would do, just to slide him in there one of these times? I mean, he's supposed to be the goalie of the future, and he hasn't played since Devan Dubnyk got here right before the All-Star break, I want to say at the end of January. And so for him to not even, I mean, he had a little bit of a rehab stint in Iowa, but he's been back here for the last month. Neither he nor Nicholas Backstrom have been playing at all. Aren't you interested to see if Darcy Kuemper has mended the miserable play that he had earlier in the season, and maybe he's bounced back and munching at the bit?
Chomping at the bit. I would think
to get back in there.
I think probably the best thing that could have happened to him is someone showed up like Devan Dubnyk and is leading by example and is a good guy in the locker room, and I'm sure trying to help Kuemper also along the way. But I think that the best thing that could happen is to keep him on the bench as long as you could, to sit and watch and take in everything that this guy is doing, because it's pretty special. It's a high level of hockey that he's putting out there on the ice right now. And if Kuemper can just fix that in his head and in the way he prepares himself, whatever Dubnyk does, I would do it too if I was Kuemper. Mm. I'd follow him, and I would get in his back pocket and do everything that he does to start his day and end his day. And that includes the workload and the after practice. And he does it right. Whatever he is all about. I mean, Devan Dubnyk is the one to watch. Just learn.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's another big guy, too, like Dubnyk is. Question four, the Timberwolves narrowly lost to the L.A. Clippers last night at Target Center. Ricky Rubio had a triple-double. Kevin Martin was out with an illness, and the ceramic bowl is what we're calling him now. Nikola Pekovic out with a boo-boo. Almost 19,000 fans again, though, last night.
Jeez.
Making it three packed houses in a row since Kevin Garnett returned. Obviously, they're not going to the playoffs. We've talked about that a lot. This isn't the same Kevin Garnett. They're still one of the worst teams in the NBA standings. How long will fans continue, Wolves fans, to continue to pack the house? And is losing but growing and progressing what fans should really want this year anyway?
Well, I think they're finally getting a good brand of basketball. We heard Flip Saunders talking about the level of play and how they picked it up and a little undermanned. Not quite what they should have depth-wise to be able to hang with the really good teams.
Oh, two of your starters are out with boo-boos. One's got an illness, yeah. The other's got a boo-boo.
Yeah, Kevin
That's
Martin and the count. The count. It's just not it's not going to happen if you don't have that kind of depth and to man up and have that kind of firepower throughout the entire game, and Kevin Garnett is only good for 20 minutes. You're going to fall off at the end. I mean, you can't keep up. You can't stay up, but we're playing hard, and we're giving them good basketball, and it's an amazing thing to see where this team could go with a couple extra pieces, one out of the lottery, maybe another veteran free agent in the offseason. This team, if they ever stay together and don't get injured, they could be really tough.
One thing I thought was really important and really kind of led some insight into what the Timberwolves are going through right now, after the game last night in the post-game press conference, Flip Saunders said, you know, we were down by 18 at one point in the first quarter, and we came back. I want to say they were up by 2 points going into halftime. He said earlier in the year, if we were down by 18, we would have finished the game down by 30. they ended up almost winning the game at the end of the game. And, I mean, they still lose, but the progress and the learning and then the growth of the young players, thanks to Flip Saunders himself, and then, of course, Kevin Garnett with what's happened in the transition these last four games since he's been here. Unbelievable. I'll take the losing as long as it's competitive and you can see the growth and they're getting better, because I still want that number one overall draft pick.
I do too. You're hoping that, you know, their rank number in power rankings, we're ranked like 23 out of the 30.
Well,
we're coming up. Yeah. We're coming up the rankings.
We got a pretty good roster when you think about it, as long as everybody can stay healthy. I mean, we've got a great coach.
And they're not going to lay down. I mean, with Kevin Garnett out there, they're not going to lay down and give you. I think what you're asking is a little bit of a let off. I think you'll probably get consistent play all the way throughout.
Sure.
And as you and I witnessed last Wednesday, when Kevin took to the floor the first time of his second stint here with the Timberwolves, is that they fell behind 18-3 at one point in the first quarter with like 2 minutes left to go in the first quarter, and they ended up tying it up at halftime and then winning by 20. I mean, they won 97-77 over Washington last Wednesday night.
I just love it. We're going to be at the Wolves Wednesday tomorrow. Hubert's 4-7 before the Wolves host the Denver Nuggets, and another packed crowd expected of 19,000 people. As a big Minnesota Timberwolves fan, it's fun to watch the house be packed. Half question, 4.5 questions. Here's the half. One word association. Tell me how you think that the Minnesota Vikings are going to attack free agency, which opens next week, March 10th, by the way. Another big, big week coming up in the NFL. They just dominate the news cycle all the time. One word on how you think the Minnesota Vikings will attack free agency.
Smartly. I don't think they'll jump at anything. No knee-jerk reactions. I think they'll approach it smart. If there's something there for the right price and gives them what they need to have at a certain position, I think they're going to surprise some people and actually get in the game. They haven't been in the free agency game that much. Not very much. Last year, Captain Munderlin and
Linval Joseph. Those happened pretty quickly. Linval Joseph happened pretty quickly. And the year before, it was a Greg Jennings deal. So even despite the fact that the Vikings and Spielman and Zimmer say, you know, we're probably not going to go in and spend big. Yep. They've been saying that the last 3 or 4 years. And they'll go out and they make a decent splash. And then they find the guys like Tom Johnson and some of the other, you know, Jerome Felton, who's not necessarily a big name, big money guy, but they come in and they serve a very important role.
Yeah, and I think that they've been fairly smart about the way they've gone about that, and not gone out and spent a ton of money on people that, you know, you're just buying a name, someone who's already past their prime. I mean, the only time it's really worked out, and it worked out quite well, was with Jared Allen.
Oh, yeah.
When we picked him up from the Chiefs. When we come back, though, we're going to pick up the phone. No, we're not. We have Vikings free agent. We'll talk about that and where we're going to go with that free agency when it opens. You can call us. I mean, give us a call, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, if you'd like to join the conversation right here on Radioactive Sports.
Here's Sports Radio 105 The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Radioactive Sports.
You know what that song means.
The superstar Mike Morris along with Ben Holson. Of course I know what that means.
It's game time.
It is. It's game time. We're going to talk a little talk. Viking free agency. Free agency in general is what we're going to talk. But I should also note that we are being brought to you by Rogaszewski and Atkins. Here at Tom Reed's on Ticket Tuesday. Whenever the Wild are in town, we're down at Tom Reed's. We do have veteran free agency coming up.
Next week, the 10th, a week
next
from today, it opens up.
So it's on.
Like
shopping,
on.
It's Christmas time, if you will, for proven veteran football players that either deserve another team and should push on and make some money, and hopefully their stock is good and they'll make a ton of money. I don't know of anyone that I've seen come out in the past, like Ndamukong Suh, who have the chance of literally just breaking the bank. And they didn't franchise tag Ndamukong Suh, so he's out there.
Nor did the Packers franchise tag Randall Cobb, and he is likely to be out of there as well once he gets a little bit of this, a sniff of the real money, because you don't really find that in Green Bay, the real money. They don't go out and pay their people like tons and tons. I mean, unless your name is Aaron Rodgers. But if he gets, I could see both of those guys going to the Raiders. I mean, they have, I want to say, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have more. I think they have like $70 million in cap space to spend, but I think the Oakland Raiders are right up there at 60 or something like that.
55 million.
They could swallow both of them right up there. Adding a playmaker to your young rookie second-year quarterback, another playmaker there, and then you're adding a guy, a stalwart defensive tackle that's just going to eat up. Well, you see what Ndamukong Suh does, and he's that Oakland Raider kind of nasty, too.
He would teach the old Raiders something, a thing or two about dirty. He does it in the most cool, calm, collected way. I didn't do anything. He walks off.
I lost feeling in my foot. I didn't know that I was stepping on Aaron Rodgers' face.
I didn't know I crushed his ankle.
Jeez. That's ridiculous.
He walks away like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And no one sells it better than Ndamukong Suh, but he stands to make an awful lot of money. I have not seen a force like that come down the road in a long, long time. I don't know who the last one would be that would be that dominant inside.
When we talk about the Minnesota Vikings, and I know you do too, but a ton of friends that are Vikings fans, obviously. I would say you can only be my friend unless you're a Vikings fan. And they go out and they dream, and they want, okay, we need a guard. They want Mike Iupati. We've talked about all the positions that the Minnesota Vikings are probably going to go after in the free agency. We've talked about all the possibilities. So when it comes to left guard, they want Mike Iupati. He was a former first-round draft pick. He's going to cost a ton of money. When it comes to that left guard spot, I've told you before, and I don't know how you necessarily agree with me, but I want to go with Clint Boiling from the Bengals. He's a guard. He's a nasty guy. He's going to cost probably a third or a fourth of what Mike Iupati is going to cost. He's 25 years old. Sure, he doesn't have the long track record that Mike Iupati does of being an all-star and an all-pro and this and that, but he doesn't have the injury histories either, and he's going to cost much less, a ton less money. So if they want to get into their power running game on that left side yet again, Clint Boiling, in my opinion, is the guy to go.
I mean, if you're looking at a guy that can really do damage, it's Mike Iupati when he's healthy. I mean, it's amazing that a guy that size and that physical can get hurt. But he does fall under the injury-prone category sometimes.
And somebody's going to pay him, and I don't want that to be us.
Someone's going to pay him, and you're going to have to pay if you're going to play the game in veteran free agency. If you're going to land somebody like that, you're going to have to be willing to pull out the checkbook and write a big check. But no, any cheaper sort of alternative besides him, outside of him, would be, I think, an upgrade, obviously. Charlie Johnson being released by the Minnesota Vikings. So we do need a left guard, no question about it. And apparently, you know, David Yanke is not what they're looking at. They're not talking that way. They're not saying, well, he's ready, and he's sliding in, and it's just not, we're not hearing that.
Same goes with the top dollar free agents and then the lower tier alternative for the rest of these other possible positions. When it comes to cornerback and friends and fans and Viking websites and chat rooms and all these things, everybody wants Byron Maxwell, who's basically, he is basically the lowest part of the Legion of Boom. But he is a free agent, young. He is the opposite side of Richard Sherman. He got attacked a lot, obviously, because teams don't throw at Richard Sherman instead of a Byron Maxwell. How about a Devon House, a cornerback for the Packers, or even, I think you and I have talked about this, Buster Skrine. He's only 5'9", but had a great year with the Cleveland Browns last year. I want to say he had 4 interceptions, 16 starts, 18 passes defensed. Smaller, though, like I said, 5'9". Has the speed and instincts to play both on the edge and in the slot.
There are some quality people out there. If you do your homework and you have the need, that there will be several people out there that can make a big difference in your squad. You have to know these people by the numbers, and also you want to get in front of them and actually have that conversation to talk to them, get to know what you can know about them, ask every question you can possibly ask, because you have to have a guy coming to town willing to change systems, teammates. It's not just about the paycheck. If you don't fit in, you're gone. I mean, if you can't make the transition, you're gone pretty quickly. There will be a lot of options out there for a lot of teams that are looking to fill in the voids. You don't want to overpay to get what you want to get done. And if it can be done in the draft, you just have to take the chance of going to the draft and hoping that the crapshoot works for you, because it is nothing more or less than that.
Yeah. At the safety position, fans' dream would obviously be Devin McCourty from the Patriots.
That's a good place.
He's going to cost a ton of money.
That's a lot of money.
So
yeah.
The other alternatives could possibly be, we talked about this yesterday when we went over the free agent safeties available, Denoris Searcy, who I really like. He played for the Bills.
The Bills, that's right.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, has the versatility to play either free or strong safety. Yeah. He's even worked in the slot as a cornerback, and so has Ron Parker, safety for the Chiefs, was a former cornerback. Some of those guys that can help cover but can come up and pop somebody in the box as well.
That's it. I mean, you have to find people that fit your system. You want to have someone that understands what's going to be expected in the Mike Zimmer scheme of doing things. I think that if you ask Captain Munnerlyn, if he was able to fall right into place with that system, I think he would say, I probably struggled. He did say it was one of the toughest years of his entire football career. I'd have to agree with him. I mean, he had nothing but numbers coming out of Carolina, but he did fall into place in a rather awkward way, sometimes having to play corner. And really, he's a dime. He's actually a nickelback, and I mean, a good one.
Yeah.
But it's when you get people out of position to make plays within their own abilities, then you have issues. So you got to find the right fit.
Obviously, Vikings fans want the best, and I don't blame them necessarily. When it comes to the top dollar free agent, it's Demaryius Thomas, who got the franchise tag by the Denver Broncos. But it's one of those non-exclusive tags, right, meaning that you can offer him a contract. You'd have to give up two first round picks, which is ridiculous.
And cash.
Lower tier alternative, Kenny Britt, played for the St. Louis Rams. But yeah, he is a giant head case. But listen to this. I mean, we had Jerome Simpson here for a while, and obviously he didn't pan out. There were some plays that he made that were just absolutely unbelievable, but obviously he has a drinking problem. With Kenny Britt, though, he's 6'3". He's one of those guys in the red zone, one of those big scoring options in the red zone. And if you give him, like, a prove-me deal, would you be willing to take Kenny Britt on the Minnesota Vikings or worry about him polluting the mind of Cordarrelle Patterson or Charles Johnson or Jarius Wright? I mean, he's kind of a winker.
You know what? He won't have anything on Jarius Wright that could pull him off his game, or of course Jennings, or Thielen, or Charles Johnson. But he definitely could affect Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm more of the belief that if you keep Cordarrelle Patterson here with the rest of these guys and don't sign another basket case, I don't mean Hank Basket.
Sure.
It was funny, wasn't it?
No.
That was pretty funny. It wasn't funny. You want to keep Cordarrelle as clean as you can possibly keep him. And if you can tap into that finally someday and find what's really in there, we've already got the guy that we want. He's here.
Yeah.
And that's going to take something, though. That's going to be a strong, strong case for whoever is helping him out during the offseason, which apparently he has assigned to him by Mike Zimmer.
The mystery
guy. Suggested by Mike Zimmer. I don't know if he took him up on it or not. I think he did.
He better have.
But he needs to learn the game. He does not know X's and O's. And that's clearly why he's not out there more than he is. And a bit of an attitude problem, too. I think he thought it was going to be easy after that first year. Not the case. It's not easy in the National Football League. I'll tell you what's not easy is trying to bring Jim Rich aboard and make sense out of him.
Well, it's even tougher when he's down in the sunshine. And I saw him this morning. He was on the Fox 9 Morning News and taking shots about how cold it was down there. And that's kind of his M.O.
I'm sure.
It was, I want to say, 65 degrees or something. And he was talking to Casey Bean. And he's like, oh, God, yeah, it was a little chilly this morning and this and that. I looked outside. Obviously, we're getting 2 to 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And he's going to pull that kind of crap on us when we talk to him. I'm just going to forewarn you.
I'm sure of that.
He's going to pull that on us as soon as he gets on the phone. He's like, oh, it's a little chilly down. Shut up, Jim Rich. But we're going to talk to him twice tomorrow. Today. We normally talk to him one time at 5:15, but we're going to talk to him about the things that are happening down at Hammond Stadium with the Minnesota Twins. And then, obviously, a big day again for the Minnesota Wild with those two trades. And then hosting a very hot Ottawa Senators team, a team that's won 5 in a row tonight at the XL Energy Center. A lot to talk to Jim Rich about.
Great test. So we're going to find out what the Minnesota Wild have got going on. We are here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, brought to you by Rogaszewski, and Atkins. When we come back, it'll be Jim Rich. In fact, for 2 segments, it'll be Jim Rich. We'll get the very most of Jim Rich that we possibly can. We are clamoring to know what he knows now down at spring training. Come on back to Radioactive Sports.